Today, we are here right after the big Nintendo Direct. As usual, there is a lot more information that we found around the internet after the big Nintendo Direct, like, live stream or whatever you call it. And we gotta dig deeper into these details and talk about some stuff.
There's always a lot that happens after the dust settles.
It's true.
And the press release goes out and the tweets go out and all the other people start digging
around.
Pre-order
stuff starts to, we start to get prices and other things.
So there's a lot of that, but I think we've also got another layer of thoughts on this Direct, which is looking extremely divisive as I look online.
Right.
There's a lot of best Direct ever, worst Direct ever.
We predicted this. No one is happy.
The default is I'm mad.
The default is I'm never going to be happy ever again, apparently. I'm happy. I feel good.
But this was an incredibly important Direct at a time where Nintendo really needed something to just push us through into the second half of the year.
And
I don't know if they completely landed the plane on that objective, but we got a lot to talk about.
We sure do, and it is in the midst of all of these other showcases and all of these other big announcements for games that came out over the last few weeks, so you are kind of in a competition.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, you're sort of being compared to all of these other things. So, yes, a lot to dig into, which is very fun.
Speaking of other showcases, shout out to our Patreon subscribers, patreon.com/KitandKrista, who have been enjoying early access to our Summer Game Fest vlog because we were there.
We were there.
We're on the week that will not end. We're on like day 10 of the week.
Yes,
because
I've lost track of time.
Summer Game Fest just went straight through the weekend. We came back and bam, we landed at like 11 o'clock Sunday night.
Yeah.
Next morning, bam, Nintendo Direct predictions.
And then today's the
and all of that, and now
and
it's going
podcast,
on. So it's been a very long and exciting week.
Yeah, we've been working.
But Summer Game Fest was really cool.
Really fun.
And
biggest show yet.
It's grown a lot. Yeah. We were there 2 years ago. It's grown just like a huge amount, and Jeff Keighley's just, you know, the big man on campus, walking around, glad-handing, hugging people.
Patting people on the
back. Handing out $50 bills.
Kissing babies?
That didn't happen.
No, no kissing babies.
I didn't see a baby at Summer Game Fest.
No handing out money.
No.
Nintendo was there. Nintendo Switch 2 was there.
They were. Switch 2.
Nintendo Switch 2.
Not Nintendo.
Not Nintendo.
Not Nintendo.
You can hear about that in our vlog.
Yes.
And we did run into some of our old coworkers, which was a fun and exciting thing for us. It was really great to have catch-up reunion time.
We saw the right kind of old Nintendo coworkers.
The ones we wanted to see were there. The people that I didn't want to see, I was able to avoid, which is great. It worked out for me.
You didn't even have to like hide behind a bush or run to the bathroom.
No, I was
or anything
very like
wear a mustache.
Well, you know what? The thing is that person's actually not there.
Oh.
It's too big. Too big and important to actually show
Are you sure?
Up.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think they may have been there.
Locked behind a closed door meeting or something.
Yeah. War room.
Summer Game Fest war room. In a Summer Game Fest war room, yes. Way to make the vibes as rancid as possible at this like great, easy breezy show.
Yeah, we went to that. We went to the big Xbox thing, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Wow, Microsoft still has some money to throw around.
That was
a good reminder of that. They put on
a
great party. Yeah, and then we're back and we're rolling right into this. And now we have so much content.
We have so much content.
Like we're trying to like appropriately space it out so there's like time for people to see it.
Right.
We have some cool stuff coming beyond today. So tomorrow, Wednesday, we got to sit in on this cool Q&A with the producer of Resident Evil Veronica.
We're really excited about
that. And we learned some new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be able to share that tomorrow in our video. I'm so excited that we were reunited at Summer Game Fest with Alex and Neil, a.k.a. CVX Freak. That stands for Code Veronica X Freak.
He was happy.
And I think that's an appropriate name for him.
He was very happy.
Because he is indeed a freak about Resident Evil. And
but he's very knowledgeable as well.
I'm just saying this out loud now so that you don't forget about it. We have to have him on the podcast.
We definitely have to have him on.
To talk about all things Resident Evil when we get closer.
He's the Resident Evil expert.
Yeah, when we have more information about that game, we have to have him on.
Absolutely.
But we learned some cool stuff about that, so that's coming soon. And on Thursday, we want to do kind of just a winners and losers of the last week of fake E3, summer game announcement, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, you're just getting compared to everything because you're in it. Everybody's in it with each other. Once again, you know, we're back in the the E3 mindset almost of right. all of these announcements happening around this 1 week, all of these showcases for the big three happening around the same timing, so you just can't help but compare which were the ones that hit, which are the ones yeah. that kind of missed. So we want to do that.
I think there are some clear-cut winners yeah. and some pretty severe losers,
yeah.
unfortunately,
true,
as true. Well. So we want to talk about that. And it's just so much news. Like, we cannot... So this episode we're doing today is...
On the direct.
The normal format's out the window.
Yeah, we can't because do the
games
we're
we have to
playing.
Focus on the direct.
Right.
There's one thing you've been playing. You can talk about that.
I can? Oh, good.
Yes.
That's so exciting.
But even... There was so much that happened. Like, we cannot just... It would take us hours and hours and hours to go through all of yeah. that. So I think this winners and losers would give us, like, a quick... Like, a pretty, like, high-level overview mm-hmm. of the important things that happened that are
exactly.
going to, like, stick with us over the next couple months.
Right.
But there's a lot to be... There's so much to be excited for.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Like, you know, sometimes at these events, like, you can get, like, a feel for how people are just, like, feeling emotionally about the industry... People seem to be feeling really good.
I think we're feeling better
yeah.
overall.
Yeah.
There's definitely still issues with the industry
yeah.
and still things to overcome. But overall, I think people are feeling like it's on the upswing.
Yeah, and I mean, just look at this incredible like onslaught of games like starting in September.
Right,
it's like
right.
it's a hard challenge for us to decide what to play. But it's like, oh my gosh, like I can't believe how many really
good games
the options
are out there.
Yeah.
And the options are really high quality and they all seem really awesome.
Yeah.
So it's more so like... picky and choosing, but I just feel like there is this feeling of like positivity, which
yes.
is really great to see.
Yeah,
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 for sure.
Before we dig into this, we did also pin down.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a tough one. Our June spoiler cast has been a very tough one.
Well, we wanted to see what happened because
we did.
We had a feeling.
Yeah, there could always be some cool shadow drop of like, oh my gosh, we have to do that.
Yeah, or like you know, in the case of what we picked for this month is that. We're both very excited about the third and final chapter of Final Fantasy VII. What is it called?
Revelation.
Thank you. I was going to say Reincarnation for some reason.
Oh.
That was not the title of the game. So we were thinking if that does get announced, like we wanted to do something Final Fantasy VII related, and it did. So that's what we're doing. We're going to be playing.
What are we doing?
Final Fantasy VII. Crisis Core!
There we go.
I was going
to see where you were going with this.
A little
yes.
Zack Fair
yeah.
action.
We earlier on had the idea of doing the movie, Advent Children.
Right.
Which you said that you had seen
I've
before.
I've seen this movie, but it's been a really long time.
But you failed to tell me an important detail, which
oh.
is this happens after the concluding events of Final Fantasy VII.
True. So you're thinking we do that
so
after
I,
we
well,
wrap
I found
up.
That. I was thinking, well, we can't do this all out of order now. Like, we can't
oh,
spoil...
Be in order.
We can't
okay.
spoil all of I Final mean, Fantasy VII.
You could have just played Final Fantasy
no.
VII, the original game.
No,
like
no.
everybody else
no.
in this world,
no.
but whatever.
No, we could not do that.
Okay.
So we're doing Crisis Core.
We are.
I started that, and then I got distracted with something else,
yeah.
so I'm excited to go back to that.
Right, right.
For people who are playing Rebirth now on a Switch 2 or an Xbox, we do have our spoiler cast for that from years ago.
Well, from when the game first came out.
Yes,
yeah.
when the game first came out on a PS5.
Yes.
So whenever you finish that, that'll be there ready for you
yeah.
and waiting. So we're going heavy on the Final Fantasy VII.
We have to be thorough. You know, with everything. That's
yeah.
the key here. You gotta be thorough.
I do wanna do the movie later.
Eventually.
Later.
Yeah.
We're gonna be waiting a little bit longer for
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Boy, that'll be a lot of Final Fantasy VII spoiler cast.
But then we'll have it
by
all
the time
in
the
library
settles.
Of the Kit and Chris spoiler cast, which
oh,
is kinda nice.
Oh man, that's gonna
you
be
have
a lot.
Like five of these. Hopefully.
You've never played Crisis Core.
I've never played Crisis Core.
Did you own a PSP?
No, I did not.
Why not?
Poor? Too poor to afford it.
You had a job by then.
What year was that?
This is when you told me you were like a waitress and people were just throwing money at you.
But I was also paying for college and rent. So how am I supposed to...
You can't scrounge up a couple of hundies?
I don't think I have...
For a PS...
No.
For a PlayStation Portable?
It was either like take this class or buy a PSP.
Well, we're learning by the day. These classes didn't get you very far.
I had to go to college. My mom told me I had
basic
to.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic have failed you.
I had to go to college.
Failed you.
The U.S. educational system has failed me. I should have stayed in China.
Things would have been different.
Things would have been
different.
I would have been much smarter.
Yes. You'd be like head AI researcher,
oh,
Krista Yang.
I would have been much richer. I think they might have been a billionaire or something.
Yeah,
the chips did not fall.
You're flapping your lips on a podcast.
Yeah, the chips did not fall in my favor.
That's a shame.
Darn it.
It's great for all of us, though. Wow, that's a lot, and we're about to sink our teeth into this huge Nintendo Direct. But first, we've got to shout out our sponsor for today. This episode is sponsored by Weight Loss by Hims.
Thank you.
And if you want to know what's really worth your time when it comes to losing weight, skip the guesswork and get Weight Loss by Hims. Hims offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications that now include the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen, plus lifestyle tips to support you along the way.
I like this because it's not just the weight loss part. It's the weight loss and the combination of diet and exercise. So it's just a more balanced, healthy lifestyle to help you reach those goals and just feel better and look better. But it's great that it's in combination to some of these other things that are also really important.
I agree. I really appreciate that Hims sees it as part of a different lifestyle change that you are going to be making to lose some weight and keep it off. So they're available to give you a lot of guidance along the way on things like diet, on exercise. I think that's a very good holistic way of looking at this sort of new journey that people are going to be going on as they go into a new phase of their life.
Yeah, it's great too because they have a care team that offers 24/7 messaging. So as you are on this journey and you have questions about all of these aspects, whether it's the weight loss part or the exercise part or the diet part, there is actually people that can help you along the way. So that's really, really nice.
And it's all online. You talk to a licensed provider who's going to see if this is the right thing for you. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And if it is, you get prescribed the medication, you get it delivered right to your door, and no insurance is necessary.
Wow.
Wow.
That's really nice.
Ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/kitandkrista to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/kitandkrista, hims.com/kitandkrista. Weight Loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit hims.com.
We'll put the link right over here and also in the description below.
Yeah.
Okay, the Direct.
All right, Nintendo Direct.
Wow.
General takeaways from this, now that we're a couple hours after it.
It's always interesting to revisit because in the moment, it is like you're having a reaction, which could be a little different once you sit down and think about it. But I did come away with that initial reaction being pretty positive.
Yeah.
And I remain pretty positive. I think I'm feeling, it's not a perfect Direct. Obviously, there's some things that I wish I could have seen more of and more detailed information that I wish I could have gotten. But overall, I thought that it was really strong. It had a lot of big games in it. It had some surprises in it that wasn't covered in those leaks. So that's always fun to be still surprised, even though there was big things that we knew about because of those leaks. And it seemed like, again, I come away thinking dang, these third parties are just doing the yeoman's work, as Reggie would say.
Yes.
They truly have bought in on Switch 2 and they're bought in on this ecosystem. And that's cool because now you're getting all of these big third-party games and it seems to be a continued thing that they're supporting the system. So I came away with feeling pretty good still.
Yeah.
What about you?
So we both gave it a B+ in the moment. At the end of this talk, we'll see if we want to revisit those grades.
We'll regrade.
I thought it was really, really good for the first two-thirds, and then it started to lose steam, unfortunately, which is not the way you want it to go.
You don't want it to end,
in intensity, pick up in everything, because you
had
that very strange Splatoon Raiders segment that was too long and just taking us through stuff we had already seen. There was, of course, the great Kingdom Hearts segment that is incredible for Kingdom Hearts fans. It's kind of not us, though, so it's kind of like a neutral thing for us. I think we're both very surprised that they got the new trailer.
We understand how big that is, though.
Right.
It may not be our favorite game, but it is a true, big reveal.
Yeah, but then we had Duskbloods, which ended up being a big, fat nothing.
Yeah.
And this Ocarina teaser, which I just don't know if that's the level of information they needed at this point in time for a game that's supposedly coming out later this year.
Sure.
And same thing with Duskbloods too. It's like, all right, we last saw this a year ago, and it's like, you can do spooky cutscenes as much as you want, but eventually we need to learn something.
To see some gameplay.
Especially if you're doing this playtest this summer, which we're in summer now.
Right.
Seems like you should tell us about the game before people online start to play it and we hear it from them.
Also, you're just going to get like a clean impression of what you, the person making the game, wants people to take away from it. Right?
So it's interesting that everybody, over this last week, we got launch dates for pretty much every game coming out this year, except for those two. Those two are the big like sore thumbs that stick out of like, it's this year, but we don't know when.
And those two arguably are the biggest two Switch 2 games,
I honestly don't know why. So in general, I thought that it just kind of petered out towards the end, which is it's a shame, but it doesn't hurt that much my overall reaction of like, this was very good.
Yeah, I love the comments about how we got, almost, four to 5 minutes of thumb war.
Yes.
And a sub 10 seconds of Dusk Bloods and Ocarina of Time. That's a funny way to compare it.
Yeah.
Because it's right. It's like, these are the two biggest games that Nintendo is putting out for the system that you may want to get people really, interested in and really bought in on and give them the information that is actually crucial to make those decisions. But instead, we watch Koizumi play Thumb for 5 minutes.
It felt like in that first half, it seemed the approach was, this is going to be an hour. We're using the hour to let some of these segments breathe a little bit.
Yes.
Which was nice. I was like, I like that we're not rushing through some things here. But then it did feel like, some of this first party stuff, it felt like we were rushing through it. I was like, I would have liked a teeny bit more time on this just to internalize everything I'm being told. And then, again, those big two games at the end, there was like, it's like a minute of nothing. So
yeah, that was the one curious thing is, we always talk about how great Nintendo is and how, a big sort of thumbs up that we always give to a good direct is good pacing. And I would say like pacing of when games were coming was generally good. Yeah, I agree with you that the weird odd man out segment is the Splatoon Raiders segment that kind of dropped towards the end where you were trying to get people hyped, and I don't know why you were talking about a game that you already had an overview trailer for. But other than that, the pacing was generally good. But the thing that is very interesting is how they picked and chose which games got the big segments, the longer segments that breathed, and which didn't. And it's suspicious that some of these bigger games like Dusk Bloods didn't get a bigger segment. It's like, there's two reasons why. One, you didn't think it needed it because the game's name could carry itself, which is weird. Or two, you just don't have it to show us.
I mean,
even
Fire Emblem, I thought could have been a minute or two longer.
Yeah.
Like I didn't come away from that necessarily feeling like, I've completely changed everything I knew, or I've learned so much more about this game. I didn't really feel that way. It's like we got the launch date, which is cool. It's like, it's coming out soon. Eventually, I'll find out, but. Mm-hmm. You could have used this opportunity to show us quite a bit more.
Yeah. Like some of the things that, were kind of long awaited in terms of I need more information on this was truly lacking in like basic.
Yeah.
Like just showing you basic gameplay for a game that's coming out in a few months should not be a heavy lift.
I mean, I felt like we got a lot more of that Rhythm Heaven segment, which is like, we know how to play Rhythm Heaven.
That's a very curious show opener.
You push the button.
That is like literally I'm a huge Rhythm Heaven fan, so I don't care. Yeah. I was happy to see it. I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. I'm going to literally buy, I'm going to buy this game. But it isn't a curious thing where when everyone has these very incredible show openers for basically every showcase has run so far, you start with a Switch 1 game?
Probably just thinking, like, let's get this out of the way, and then everything else is switched to. I don't know.
But start it off with a little bit of heat,
You're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere.
This is where Nintendo falls, though. Because it's like, they know these things, and they take it for granted to make it feel less, like, exciting and fun. Which, they shouldn't rest on those laurels, But, I mean, I love Rhythm Heaven, so I don't care. But I can see the criticism from people, because again, like we're saying at the top here, like this direct seems to be pretty divisive, and people have a lot of like It's either like, I give it an A, S tier, or like, I hate this. This is the worst direction ever. Yeah, so this it was one, like nothing really in the middle.
Yeah, this year, or this one, it seems like there really is no in between.
Right, it's either you hated it or you loved
it. Right, and maybe that's just life on the internet today.
Maybe it is. But they do these little things that irk people, like opening the direct with a Switch 1 game that's not super like, it's a pretty niche game, or you know, having a long segment of Thumb War, Thumb Wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I thought either like a longer look at Fire Emblem or the new Xenoblade game could have been great openers.
Yeah, I feel like the Monolith section where like all of those Xenoblade games are coming, plus the reveal of the new game would have been such a hype opening moment.
Yeah.
Like open it with that, and then you can talk about Rhythm Heaven like two games in if you want to get.
Yeah.
There were still other Switch 1 games that they were showing anyway, so it's
like what.
Like, there was a lot of games that were, like, it's on both, you know?
Oh, some of the third-party stuff?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. So it's not like it would be totally out of place. Yeah. So the pacing of it, in terms of, like, which games got which segments when, that was a little strange in this direct overall.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I want to go through the lineup of the year now, kind of from now through the end of 2026. I'm going to start by going through the first party, then I'll do another read with the third party stuff.
Okay.
So I guess the Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition Switch 2 thing is out now.
Okay.
June 25th, Star Fox. July 2nd, Rhythm Heaven. July 23rd, Splatoon Raiders. July 30th, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Switch 2 Edition. September 17th, Fire Emblem Fortunes Weave. October 22nd, Nintendo Switch Sports Resort. December 3rd, Xenoblade Chronicles 3 Switch 2 Edition. This Pocopia DLC stuff is kind of happening throughout into next year.
Right, but starts early in the year as well.
And then we have two TBDs by Duskbloods and Ocarina of Time, and might as well just mention Xenoblade Genesis.
That's 2027.
The new Monolith Soft game for 2027.
Yeah.
So that's all first party.
Right.
Now we add in the third party stuff, and This is mostly stuff that was in the Direct. I'm sure there's a lot of other games. And I'm not listing everything. This is just kind of what's notable.
Yeah.
June 24th, Deltarune Chapter 5. September 3rd, Orbitals. September 25th, Onimusha. October 1st, Rayman Legends Retold. October 8th, Kingdom Hearts Collection. October 9th, Dragon's Dogma 2. October 22nd, Final Fantasy Resonance. November 12th, Metaphor ReFantazio. December 3rd, Dragon Quest Monsters Withered World, and TBD Stellar Blade.
And Duskbloods.
Is Duskbloods first party or not? What is the deal with Duskbloods?
Third party.
Is Nintendo publishing that?
No, I don't.
Are you sure?
I actually don't know.
Who's publishing it?
I actually don't know.
FromSoft usually has a publisher.
That's true.
So I imagine that is the relationship there.
The developer and
Nintendo. I'd like to know who put all these typos in this tweet from.
That's a little sloppy.
The official Duskbloods account.
They had a weird
issue. That would
issue.
Not fly under my watch.
Oh, no. That would be bad. That's, like, embarrassing.
There were two in the same tweet.
Yikes. It was, like, their scheduling software, I think, that they used to...
Some Excel spreadsheet with a translation
There's
did like not...
some kind of copy and paste
get properly
scheduling
handled.
Software.
So in that case, like, I actually don't know who's running that channel. Is that a FromSoft channel? Is that a Nintendo channel? I don't know. I'd like to know.
Nintendo shouldn't have allowed that typo to happen over the channel they were running, though.
Again, the amount of questions we have about this game just gets deeper and
it
deeper.
It mounts.
So again, there's probably other stuff, but you know, largely that's the lineup for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that enough for the rest of 2026?
I think so.
Okay.
I feel like this is a pretty strong lineup if you count all the third-party games as well. There still may be a few more third-party games that are not in this that will get, you know, like, for example, 007 First Light. That game is coming to a Switch 2, but we didn't get the date, but it's coming. We just don't know when.
Man.
So there are those kinds of examples to even more fill out this calendar, but this is way more than enough games that you could play ever.
I mean,
fine.
It's a ridiculous amount of games.
Yeah, it's a crazy amount of games.
So there's currently no first party game in August.
Mm-hmm.
Was that what happened last year? What was the month last year where there was no game?
August, we were bored. Remember how bored we were?
August. And also November.
Wow, November's probably going to be Ocarina.
What is?
November. Ocarina.
So GTA 6, we're going head to head.
I think so. I think that's the plan. I still believe that to be the plan in my head.
I think so.
That makes sense to me.
Then where does Dust Bloods go?
I thought it was going to go in October, but maybe it's a December game. Maybe they just can't get their stuff together.
I could see it being mid October. I could also see this game being delayed.
It could be delayed.
At this point.
Yeah, it could be like delayed into Q1 of next year.
Right, especially if you do this network test and it's like, oh God, this game's a mess.
Maybe that's why they need to do the network test.
Well, I mean, this is a multiplayer game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So they can like make sure.
Right, but
they can't commit to a date until they make sure.
It could also be a wake-up call if the feedback is just like really bad. Like this game is really not ready.
So then maybe that's why they were reluctant to show more things and reluctant to give
have
you a
launch date. Yeah. See how it goes first, and then decide.
We'll decide.
Yeah.
But that makes sense.
But the Kadokawa Financials told me that this game was coming in 2026. They would not break their fiduciary agreement. Responsibility to me, the shareholder. I don't hold
you
those shares.
Tap some feet.
I don't hold those shares.
Foot tapping, angry, finger pointing shareholder.
Yeah.
I mean, that was supposed to be one of their like big linchpin things, though.
That's the X factor for the entire year. X.
What about Ocarina of Time? That's not an X factor?
No.
Why not?
We know enough about that. If Dust Bloods is the next Elden Ring,
it's not, though.
Why not?
It's a multiplayer.
Why not?
Game.
So what? They just did it. They just did the multiplayer Elden Ring, and that was that sold a lot. A lot. Night Ring sold a ton.
That's true. It's not what I want. But
the next main game from From Software. Yeah. Let's not diminish that.
No, I know. I'm not.
And I think it's a factor of like we know nothing about it.
Right.
But I think like the fact like it's on a Switch 2.
It's
like,
one of those things.
It's getting downplayed to a crazy degree.
But it's also raising a lot of very, I think, reasonable question marks.
Yeah.
Of like, why aren't you showing me more about this? What's going on? Is it really because you wanted to do certain things like a network test or like what's happening? Like the less you show and the closer we get to the end of the year, the more questions people are going to have.
Yeah.
It doesn't bode well that it took them so long to even bring over Elden Ring onto a Switch 2. It doesn't fill you with confidence that they can do this well. I mean, they can do it well on another platform, but can they do this well on a Nintendo platform?
All right, so
we got a lot of questions.
So there's maybe some reasons about why we don't have a launch date for that. What about Zelda? Why not just give a date?
They're probably going to do an Ocarina of Time Direct, right?
You could give a date without that.
I don't know why they did that.
I think it was a weird
question mark if they said 2026 with no date. What are they waiting for? They got no excuse. They don't have a network.
I don't know.
Test. It's not a multiplayer
there's nothing,
game.
There's nothing to wait for. I don't know.
This one is weird. This one is like, I could talk myself into potential reasons for Dusk Bloods not to have a launch date
now. That game's not getting delayed out of the year.
Ocarina of Time is not getting delayed.
No.
That's not a game in which you need player testing for. This is also a remake. So what is the deal with that? That's a huge question mark for me. Is like, why is that not dated?
Doesn't make sense.
Unless they've talked themselves
ducking GTA as long as possible
to do what?
Until it gets confirmed for the exact same day.
To do what?
I don't know.
For what purpose?
I don't understand at all. There's so much about this reveal that makes very little sense to me.
It makes absolutely zero sense to me. And like, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of title direct for this game.
What? Yes, fine, but so what? That has nothing to do with a launch date.
Could they have talked themselves into the idea of like, no, we're going to just save it all for
we
this
know the
title date. Direct?
We know the dates of every other game.
They talked themselves into some
we know the
stupid
dates of every
stuff.
Other game.
They love to do that. They love to talk themselves into stupid stuff.
Maybe, this is just me making stuff up, maybe they're hedging that they're going to say, we're going to give ourselves a deadline to the end of... Let's say the end of August.
August, yeah.
Is GTA getting delayed or not? Is GTA actually... Is it actually coming out this year?
That's the game that they're playing?
Could be.
That's silly.
Could be.
That's silly.
That's somewhat reasonable.
No, I think it's dumb.
Because then it's like, oh, okay, if it gets delayed, we might want to adjust. I think it's coming out in November either way, but they may want to make some... Like, do we literally want to come out on the same day? Or are we going to take that day after they bail out and go into next year?
There's November 19th, right?
That's as of now, it seems like GTA is coming out.
November 19th is the date,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, whatever that day is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think they talked themselves into some weird stuff. That could be one thing they talked themselves into. The other thing is like, oh, we're just going to like save all the chips for this one moment.
Right. Otherwise, it's something completely nonsensical.
Yeah, it's some nonsense stuff that they talked themselves. Maybe it's like, no, we want to do an anniversary direct for Zelda, and we want to put this Ocarina of Time stuff in there with Aonuma, with a movie thing, with whatever else.
Yeah, we didn't get
the movie stuff.
We didn't get any for anniversary stuff. So there could be an anniversary direct.
That could be it.
Yeah.
And then maybe they have other things that they want to announce there.
But it
doesn't make sense. It, regardless of the fact if they wanted to do another direct or not, you're right. Why not just date
like
this
a launch date is a very functional thing. It's like, is the game up for pre-orders yet?
No, you cannot have a pre-order without a launch date.
You might as well start taking a pre-order by putting a date out there.
If you're dating all of your other games for the rest of the year, it's notably weird when you don't date one of your biggest games. So,
all right, so there's some reasons.
There's some weird reasons.
but I don't know if it really outweighs, just tell us the date if you've got it.
Fine. But regardless of dates or no dates, you know, these games are 2026 games from what we know now. And this lineup, to me, looks pretty good. Looks pretty strong.
I'm getting a little tired of the you must get out of the way of GTA 6 at all costs narrative. Like, I think there's a lot of games where that is true, but yeah. I think there's enough games also where that's not necessarily true.
Yeah,
for sure. Imagine if there's like one of these like banger like JRPGs. It's like, yeah, that audience is a little bit different than GTA. I think there's certain games. There's a Barbie game that's coming out. That's great. We have a Barbenheimer moment.
Barbenheimer.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, Barbie's going to be carjacking.
I can't wait for Barbie. Barbie already has a cool car. She has the pink Corvette.
Now you can get an Atari-themed Barbie for the first time in that game.
In that little shirt.
Yeah.
He's wearing like a little Atari shirt.
In that game.
It's very cute.
But it's just something now that people say. It's like a platitude. And it's like, now is actually the time to really poke and prod that theory. It's like, is this actually true, or is this just something that people
made
say?
Up?
People just say.
And now you're scared because I do think
for most games it's good to get out of the way, but I do think there's a lot of games where it's like you could probably find an opportunity here.
Well, it's called understand who your audience is.
Yeah,
and like if you really truly get it, like who your audience is, and you decide and know that that's the audience.
Well, it's not something we've learned that the industry is particularly good at.
No, they're actually terrible.
Because I think every game is for everybody. Everybody's going to buy every single game.
Don't ever say that to me ever again.
Well, it turns out this year most people are actually not going to buy
it. I think people are going to buy nothing.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
It's going to be like one or zero.
Yeah.
But yes, we do have a November game. It's Metaphor ReFantazio, a little game called Metaphor ReFantazio.
Fine.
Have you heard of it? But whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's like, I agree with you, like the discourse around this the GTA and the industry literally like running for the hills to get out of GTA's way is, I'm getting tired of it too.
Yeah, and for Nintendo to not have a November game going into the holiday makes no sense.
Yeah.
And they have to support their platform in the strongest way possible. They're used to competing. They're used to going up against the biggest and baddest.
Yeah.
Whether it is GTA 6 or something else.
They're still courting GTA. They're like, if GTA comes to our platform in November, then we can't launch Zelda then. That's another reason.
Sure.
Another cockamamie reason.
Put that wad on the tinfoil hat.
That's what I'm saying. These are all like the theories of a crazed, insane person.
It's ridiculous.
This is that. I mean, to put the GIF here, the Marty Silva, the string, the thing. It's ridiculous. Whatever. Okay, then we won't know until we know. That's the thing.
Whatever. So Nate the Hate was right.
Yes.
And the only thing that he said that wasn't in here was that Pikmin 2 Switch 2 Edition.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there's going to make up some Pikmin Day or something at some point. We're going to have a Pikmin Direct, and it can be 3 hours long. And
well, don't forget, there's probably going to be a September Direct.
Oh, yeah, sure. They could be there, too.
I mean, we're in June right now.
Sure.
So there's still more time for 2026 things in September and then early 2026.
Before people say, like, oh, well, they'll announce the Zelda date in the September, that's extremely late.
They're not doing that.
To date your biggest game of the year.
Your holiday game?
That's extremely late.
I don't think they're doing that. I think it's going to be like...
That's a major problem if you're doing that.
They got to do this in August, latest. Yeah. The very latest for this title direct, if they're doing it,
because when did
or an anniversary direct, has to be either The last week of July or the first week of August?
Because hold on, last year when did all of those floating holiday games start to get dates?
August.
Yeah. Yeah, I think August. It was. I think it was August. Even then's really.
We started getting the Twitter or the Nintendo Today.
Yeah, there was Gamescom, and we got Kirby.
And then we got Kirby at Gamescom, and then PAX West is right after that. Wait until the end of August also seems late to me. So, anyways.
But anyway, Nate the Hate, a lot of the stuff he said was there. The Switch Sports that was there. Uh-huh. Obviously, Ocarina of Time.
Those Fire Emblem. Fire Switch 2 editions. Xenoblade.
Xenoblade stuff. That was all there. In hindsight, did what we know about Ocarina impact the way you received that teaser?
Not really.
Really?
I kind of feel like at this point, I'm so desensitized. It's like when you watch something violent over and over again, you kind of don't care anymore. Right. It's kind of like that.
For me personally. I think it had a huge effect. Like, if that was actually a surprise and there was a teaser of an Ocarina of Time remake at the end of a direct, I think people, like, it would be insanity. But we've known about this since March.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this for at least 2 months. We have gone in circles around it, talking about here's all the myriad of ways that they could do this. All these, and we got this little teaser of him sleeping on some dirt. Okay, I didn't even see him move.
Is he sleeping? Or is he dead? Sleeping, right?
He's asleep. I hope he's asleep. It's like I think this had
I didn't know that Link was a tummy sleeper. First of all,
I think this had a huge impact on the way that this is being received.
I guess.
Just such a foregone conclusion. It's like, yeah, of course we're going to see it. And I think a lot of people expected, well, at this point, we're going to see more than this. Mm. I think this this is huge. And again, if I'm so mad at Nate the Hate for doing this.
If you're Nintendo, you're looking to kill.
But this is where they're stubborn. They're like, well, this is the plan. We're sticking to the plan. There's a lot of people saying, like, oh my gosh, they're rearranging the plan because of Nate the Hate. No, they're not
they
doing that.
They can't do
no,
it.
No, that's not what they do. They
mind
don't do that.
Chains.
They don't do that.
Chains. They cannot rearrange the plan.
So again, the original plan of, like, we're going to have this little teaser.
Yeah.
That was probably, again, I think that's fine if nobody knows about this. Mm. But for 2 months to roll out the same teaser?
Yeah.
It's like
I see what you mean.
You need to, I think they should have rethought some stuff.
Added something about in
this.
Or maybe, I don't know, rearranged it a little bit so it's a little
it
bit
just
different.
It just didn't seem like it had much of an impact. Because it was just such a foregone conclusion.
It was such a, like, again, people were saying, myself included, like, we would be more surprised if it wasn't there versus we would be surprised to see it there.
Right.
I guess my point in terms of the impact, and I totally agree with you. I think, like, yeah, in a world where these leaks don't exist, like, you would be living in your blissful ignorance of, you know, like, what we had at the end of E3, whatever year, where we had the Tears of the Kingdom reveal, that, you know, that kind of surprise moment was, like, next level. But I think everyone has just gotten to a place where we just expect to know everything before it gets revealed, that you're just numb to it, which is really sad. It's an unfortunate thing.
Think about you had a great reaction to the Xenoblade Genesis trailer.
Oh yeah.
Think if that was part of that leak that we knew about 2 months ago, and you just saw everything that you were verbally told was just played out in a trailer. It's like, that's what I expected it to be.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Versus I had no idea this was coming.
Yeah.
This is
a
huge surprise. I'm actually seeing it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
In the case of that game, we actually saw a lot of the game.
And it looked pretty freaking awesome.
Coming next year. Versus the game this year, where we saw
two games this year, and we got nothing.
You know, we saw the little baby camera on Link as he's sleeping.
I know, it's like a nanny cam. Yeah. It's like the knobby nanny cam on Link. Hey, your diaper's wet.
Yeah, like I think this it had a profound impact on this reveal.
You convinced me. Yeah, for me it was just such a numb feeling because you knew about everything. So you didn't have that, like, moment, but it is something that I think people are resigned to it. You know, they're just like, I there's no way I can escape this. So I'm just resigned to it. And that's just what it is.
Yeah. So
maybe one day it won't be like this because we'll figure out how to not have leaks or things will be different. But for now, this is the world that we live in, and I think people have like accepted it.
Yeah, so we got to put to bed this story of like, oh my gosh, Nintendo's reacting. Oh, they moved the Star Fox reveal to after Golden Week.
No, they did not do that.
Like, no, I mean this is the ultimate like. This was not the best way to roll out this game in light of a leak that happened in March.
Yes. They had 2 months to do something if they wanted to do something.
They actually had time to change
the approach. They could have done something. They could have made a new trailer.
Right.
In 2 months, I mean, it's hard to make a new trailer, but they could have made a new trailer.
Yeah.
You know?
Could have expanded the trailer.
Had Aonuma come on to introduce the game.
Yeah, say something about it.
Say something about it. Even if he just came on to say something about it without even showing us more gameplay.
Yeah.
That would have been something.
So there were a couple things from this teaser. We did get the graphic style. That question has been answered.
Yes, it is very realistic.
The realistic style.
Yep.
I thought it was noteworthy that narration at the beginning had VO.
That's true.
I was not just reading the tapestry. I was being spoken to by the tapestry.
It's not stained glass.
It's basically the same thing.
The music was really
The music
good.
Was great, yeah.
The little like musical cues.
Yeah, the music was super good.
That they had. Ooh, I got a tingle. That was great.
So,
I love that.
For me... Now the question is, what makes this different than this Star Fox game that we're about to get and that I'm about to pay $50 for?
So you think
which is
$50?
A remake of a Nintendo 64 game with great graphics,
beautiful,
great presentation,
yeah.
All of that, but that's kind of all it is. How is this more than that?
Is it more than that?
Is it?
The question is it more than that?
Yes.
Like, how is it more than that?
Is it, and if so, how is it more than that?
Yes.
I would like to know that.
I think the first question is it, though? I don't think you can assume at this point at all that this is going to be any different than a straight-up, scene-by-scene...
Is that disappointing, then?
...remake with beautiful,
for the big game
graphics.
The big game of the year?
I don't know. I haven't seen enough of this game. I cannot answer that question right now.
I'm gonna say that might be a little disappointing.
Well, you were disappointed when Star Fox
was like all
that,
it was.
And then you came around. So maybe there's a way for you to come around.
It's a little
different. How's it different?
It's not the greatest rated game ever per Metacritic. It doesn't have a 99 on Metacritic.
So? Why would you mess with it then if it was so great?
What?
If it was such a great game, wouldn't they be more reluctant to mess with it and change it up?
Possible, yeah.
So it's like literally, no, don't mess with it. Make it this new art style with some VO.
All right.
And call it a day.
Who's making this game? Velen Studio?
Oh my God. I have more to say than that.
Grezzo? Can Grezzo even do a big HD game like this?
No, it's Grezzo.
Because it's like a lot of the studios that were doing these before, it's like, I don't know if they can hang on the major like AAA visuals side of this.
Yeah. Monolith?
No!
They're busy.
No. I mean, they're probably involved in one way, shape, or form.
In some
But I don't think they're the lead developer.
Retro Studios.
Oh my God. You're just playing the hits.
Well, give me your idea.
I don't know!
Velen.
Velen came out, like, that was not on anybody's list. Velen Studios.
That was not on my bingo card.
That was not on anybody's list.
I thought they had like gone.
Yeah, it's like what's this? you might have to dig it. It's like, what's that studio that made like Excite Truck? We're going back to that. It's like
they're making the Ocarina of Time.
They're going
game?
Deep into the Rolodex.
Who can do it well is the question. Maybe it's in house.
I don't think it is.
You don't think it's in house?
No.
What if it is? What if they have a new team in house?
Why do we need a new team? Why do we need to dedicate our who probably going crazy on the next actual
Grew
Zelda
the
game
team.
To work on just per you a down the middle remake of
I
this
don't
game.
Know if that is the truth, though.
A blow for blow.
I don't know that.
Recreation.
I never said that. I said if.
You can see the thumbtacks going in to the N64 polygons. We're just wallpapering over that model. A baby Link here. Sucking his thumb on some dirt.
His dirty mud thumb? Shouldn't do that. I'm going to get like a disease. Yeah, it is curious. What do you think about the graphic style? I have a question about it.
Yeah, what is it?
I don't know. I'm
oh, you're not sold. You're not sold. You're not sold.
I'm not sold.
You would have liked something more stylized?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying go to Breath of the Wild or anything like that, but it just feels have that kind of like Unreal Engine look to it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a little generic, like, kid model.
Like those like AI videos you see people making.
I wasn't gonna say
I made Ocarina of Time in HD.
I wasn't gonna go so far as to say that because that's like such a slanderous thing that you could say about this. But I was thinking it. I truly was thinking it. I mean, honestly, like the tapestry better than the
I mean, we have to see more. I think it could be cool. I think it could.
We need to see more.
I really like the approach to Star Fox. I think that looks amazing.
I think Star Fox looks amazing, yeah. And I think that yes, I agree. That approach is. Like, it works, it feels fresh, it definitely, like, feels like it's been upgraded, but not completely changed.
Yeah.
If they're trying to strike that balance, that's a good blueprint, maybe, to go, to sort of, you know, follow, but I don't know what they're doing. No one knows what they're doing, because it showed us 10 seconds of a sleeping Link, so we just need to wait, I think,
yeah.
And wait and see, right?
So
be calm and wait and see.
So
my stomach really hurt during that reveal, though. I was like, oh my god, what is this gonna?
So recapping, like? Duskbloods. Is there more information before this network test or not?
They're freaking better.
I think there has to be, or they have their head in their sands of like, oh, nobody's gonna share this. They're crazy.
No. Even if it's a typo riddled tweet.
Well, then that has
we gotta see something.
That
about
has to be soon. That has to be soon. Then.
So that I mean that okay. that test is in July, right?
Oh, it said summer.
Oh, summer.
Just said summer.
All right.
And then for Zelda, we think there's some 40th anniversary direct.
I don't know. I've convinced myself.
And whatever the heck they've convinced themselves of. Okay.
I've convinced myself, and so have they, apparently.
Okay. Another big first-party game that we saw a lot of is more Splatoon Raiders, which this baffling...
I get
it. Extended segment, which was kind of like replaying the basics of the game that we already got in the last trailer, which was like a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And that was a great informative trailer a month ago. I did not need that.
Why did I need this?
Replayed back to me.
And they're doing a Splatoon Direct.
Yeah, there's a Splatoon Direct on June 30th, which feels like we're going down the Mario Kart World Direct path again.
I'm not
so big and so vast. You must tune in at.
Well, they didn't say that.
At 3 a.m. to hear all of the details.
Big man will personally slap you in the face with a fin to wake you up to watch a direct.
Waking up early for that.
They
did have this game was on the Treehouse Live. I didn't watch that segment. That Treehouse Live seemed not scintillating, so I didn't really watch a ton of it.
I didn't watch any of it, so yeah. I was working, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But, it just felt like, yes, we got it.
We're going heavy on the Splatoon Raiders.
Okay, good. I mean, it's fine.
This is a huge deal for Japan. This series, I've seen, they've already got, like, huge, like, billboards
like
and stuff.
Like, bus ads and things like that.
I don't like trains, trains and stuff.
And stuff. Okay, sure.
So we're firing up that
machine. Do you think they're
scared? Of what?
Of people not accepting this kind of single-player experience?
Well, people have pointed out that tagline that they have is only on the NOA materials.
What is the tagline?
A single-player focused Splatoon adventure.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that.
Okay.
I think Japan will welcome this with open arms.
Do you think Japan doesn't
open
care?
Open flippers. Yeah. Open big man flippers.
Open tentacles. Yeah. Let me wrap my tentacles around Splatoon Raiders.
Somebody out there just leaned forward. To the screen.
Keep leaning. Come here. Let me get in here. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Don't get me wrong. I'm really excited about Splatoon Raiders. Yeah. I'm definitely going to be buying this game and playing a ton of this game when it comes out. But I just don't know if I needed to see more of this game when I'm here for the new information.
Riddle
me this.
I
already got this information.
If this game is such a big deal, why is it $50? Why is this not? You know, a full price game. If this,
you know,
this
what's
is the
curious?
Biggest and greatest Splatoon game. What?
The $80 Fire Emblem game got a much smaller segment / much less information than the $50 Splatoon game.
Yeah,
that's curious. Is it more like broad? It's like broad.
I mean, the scope of this game seems like a huge question. I think it'll be fine for you and me, but. For those, like, Splatoon mega fans out there, like, I don't know.
Well, that's why I asked the question of, like, will there be some kind of rejection from those mega fans? Like, this isn't the Splatoon I come here for. Mm. I don't know. I mean,
they were making the Salmon Run connection pretty hard. I think it'll be fine.
People like Salmon Run a lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like Salmon Run?
Yeah, it's cool.
So the weakest reaction
yeah.
ever.
Yeah. I have a provocative question to ask after we shout out our next sponsor. Okay. This episode is sponsored by Raycon.
Wow.
You know, what's just around the corner is Father's Day. And, you know, it's a great gift for Father's Day, the Raycon Essential Open Earbuds.
Your dad does not want to hear from you ever again. He wants to send his...
No, dad. That's why he has the open earbuds.
Oh, I see.
So he can hear you.
Oh, yes, the dad.
You say, Daddy, I love you.
Daddy, buy me a pony. Daddy, make the cats of cats sing happy birthday to me. No, dad wants to listen to a podcast and his music. These earbuds are really great. We both use these daily. And they are so nice for, you know, whether you're out on a walk or doing stuff around the house, whatever you're doing, these are so comfortable. They stay in your ears. They're so easy to connect to your phone or switch between devices. It just works.
Yeah, I was not familiar with this style of earbud until they sent us some. Yeah. I was like, wait, this doesn't go in my ear.
Right, it just kind of hooks over your ear.
That's kind of the whole point. It's kind of like shooting the sound into your ear.
It sounds violent.
And it sounds like it normally would on an earbud.
And the person that you're with can't hear you, don't worry.
Right.
Because you're listening to like private stuff.
But since there's nothing actually going into your ear, you can actually still hear the world around
you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which was really interesting.
Nice.
So it's like, I think back to my dad, he's like, he was always doing something, like mowing the lawn
or
doing some yard work outside. So it's like, it's perfect. It's like, you don't have to be shut out to the world around you. You can hear all the things.
Sometimes you need to know your surroundings too. For
it
safety.
Is important.
Yes. So it's nice to have open ear earbuds.
And guess what? Now they're 15% off. So upgrade your dad's everyday routine. Go to buyraycon.com/kitandkristaopen to get 15% off. Thanks, Raycon, for sponsoring.
I'll put the link right over here with a QR code for you to scan and also in the description below. All right.
Now, my big provocative question is...
Say it!
Why does it seem like third parties are much more capable of making Switch 2 games right now than actual Nintendo?
I know. I'm not mad at them because, again...
At who?
The third parties.
Oh, no.
Doing the work.
Well, there's no reason to be mad at them for giving us a lot of great games.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I mean, the thing with third parties is that they're much more versed in making games for lots of different platforms, I think. Like, so they have the experience versus Nintendo who, you know, like we were saying with this transition, like they had to do a lot of stuff to prepare for it, like staff up and figure out how to make these bigger games. Like third parties were doing that all along. So it's
easier. Yeah, I mean, they had a whole generation making 4K games.
Exactly.
So whatever.
So they just have the experience,
Pipeline experience, whatever. They do know about that versus Nintendo. And it is interesting, like thinking back, like, the two of the biggest Switch 2 games, Donkey Kong and Mario Kart, they did start as Switch 1 games.
Right.
And they got kind of that bump.
That little boost.
Later on in development. But it's curious that, my gosh, like Capcom just showing us great game after great game that runs so well. Square Enix is doing it. All these other companies, yes.
I have a question.
What?
Maybe this is a stupid question. But is there a in-house made Nintendo first party game that is built for Switch 2 that's come out yet?
You mean internal Nintendo developed?
Yeah.
I'm sure there is, but I don't have the list in front of me.
You think there's... Okay.
You put me on the spot.
I actually...
Dragon Drive. There it is.
Welcome to...
But no, I mean, we've talked about this before. Is like there's a lot of outsourcing happening, which is why I asked the question about Zelda.
Yeah.
Is making are they actually making that internal... I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a very fair question.
You know, Monolith is owned. I don't know if I consider them. They're not in that Kyoto building. They're slightly different. They're very capable.
They're fine.
They're as capable as it
clearly
gets.
Clearly, they're completely, they're like off and running, you know? They're good.
Right.
But we got but it is very
Intelligent
true.
Systems. We got all these, like, Koei Tecmo. We got all these other teams.
Intelligent Systems.
Pacopia.
Bandai Namco. They got people. They got people doing the things.
Right.
But, like, my question really is, like, not counting Dragon Drive, like, in-house.
Right.
What are they doing in-house?
And, again, like, I think back to what Furukawa said at the financials of, like, well, don't worry. We're going to have a great lineup to push people over this price increase.
Yeah.
And it seemed like, guess what? The stock was down.
After the direct?
After the direct. It wasn't like cratering, but it was definitely clearly down. Mm. And a lot of the analysts that I saw, they were like, yeah, we expected more. They need to blow us away with this great lineup, and I think the third parties blew everybody away.
Yeah, they did.
And it's the first party side that is struggling to keep up. And it's like, you barely showed us a glimpse. We don't have a date. I don't have give me more.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
You need to give me more. So I find it to be very curious.
I mean, these are all like really fair questions. It's not a question that's supposed to be like rage baity or whatever. It's like literally a very reasonable thing to ask is like, what are you doing on the first party side in-house? Making a game that actually is built for this new hardware that will, you know, feel like a next-gen game. What is that? Is it Ocarina of Time remake? Is that what it is? What is it?
Still Dragon Drive.
Dragon Drive DLC until we die.
So I thought this was interesting that we didn't get a little reminder of any of the big games from these recent showcases were announced for Switch 2.
Sure, they have like Switch 2 logos.
So I'm thinking of Final Fantasy, now I've forgotten the name, or Revelation.
Revelation.
Resident Evil Veronica. Mm-hmm.
There's more.
Call of Duty, which was outside of those.
But it's
like, hey, there's Nintendo more. Audience, maybe you weren't watching Summer Game Fest. Maybe you weren't watching
whatever showcase.
The Call of Duty Kill Cam live stream. let's just remind you that these games are coming.
And these are big current.
Yeah. And I mean, if you want
newly announced games.
Yeah, throw them in a sizzle reel, give them a 10-minute call, whatever, but there's nothing. I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting.
Seems like it would have been just mention it. Hey, we got these.
The thing with them is that they don't want to play with others. It's like, you guys are all, whether you like it or not, you're participating in what we call fake E3, this like June announcement time, where everybody has their showcases just like before, and everybody is announcing stuff, and some of these things are multi-platform. But Nintendo doesn't like to play with the other people. They're just like, no, we live in a hole of our own making. Like, we can't acknowledge the world outside of Nintendo. Like, we can only do the things that our people are serving to us on a silver platter. It's like, no, you are part of this larger thing. Sorry, the world does not revolve around you, you know? So you should probably just acknowledge that and make it feel a bit more cohesive, because I think it makes it feel bigger. But to them, it's like, no, that's a distraction. Like, no, we have to do our own thing. Like, we can't be sunk into their level of a Summer Game Fest in their showcase. Like, no, we're Nintendo. That's why. It's so stupid.
I think it's a missed opportunity.
It's a total missed opportunity.
Let's get into some other odds and ends news-wise. So this came out after the Direct ended. Star Fox is being made by Velen Studios.
Yes.
That's
a shocker.
They of the classic Mario Kart Home Circuit RC cars, ARRC cars.
Yeah.
They also did Knockout City, which was a very fun game about dodgeball. I really liked that before it got shut down. Mm-hmm. That's a studio that's previously a lot of Vicarious Visions people.
Yes.
Why were you so surprised at this?
Oh, I don't know. I just didn't think that.
Wasn't on your list.
Wasn't on my list.
Okay.
Have they done much after
Mario Kart Home Circuit?
Kart Home Circuit after that game? Because that's not really a traditional game, obviously.
That, Knockouts. I think they did some other like AR-based thing. It's interesting that now they have the AR faces for the game chat.
They got
expertise
in the AR part of it.
Expertise in AR.
Yeah.
I think it's a great fit. Vicarious Visions has been... Yeah, Vicarious Visions been around forever. They have a ton of experience. They have clear...
I mean, the game looks fine.
Technical know-how.
The game looks good.
I think that's a good fit, and that's a good kind of side developer for Nintendo to have for these sorts of games. So I think that's good.
If I hadn't seen the gameplay and this studio was announced, I would have way less confidence.
Ew.
But since I have seen already the gameplay and I know it's already good, like, it's fine.
Yeah. Fire Emblem, Fortune's Weave, we have pricing for that. If you're going physical like I am, it's $80.
Oh my gosh.
We're back to Mario Kart.
We're back to this. Drop the price? Man. Or do we not care?
Well, there's also a special edition of Fire Emblem, Fortune's Weave that is $120.
Sold out.
And if that's too rich for your blood, it doesn't really matter because it's already sold out. it's like well, on one hand we're mad about it being too expensive, on the other hand I've jumped the gun and I've bought the most expensive thing possible.
I bought four of these actually. Scalpers?
Oh, man. No.
Is it scalpers or is it people?
This was in our predictions. We said there's probably going to be a special edition.
And it's probably going to be because, very expensive.
Because they know that these fans are so rabid. Like, they just put something out there with a big price tag and they're going to buy it.
I think it's mean.
I think so, too.
They're, like, taking advantage of these people. They are.
Fandom, yes.
They're taking advantage of these people, and that's just kind of nefarious.
Yeah.
You know, these people don't know better. They can't help themselves.
So again,
they can't help themselves.
Now I'm back to not understanding this price,
the price model.
Did the price go down or did the price go up? I continue to be confused.
Oh, now we're back
to being confused. Which way it is.
Less confused like a week ago.
I mean, it seems like we're just in this place where it's one and the other, depending on the game.
So $80 physical, $70 digital?
Yeah. Certainly wasn't going to be $80 from the ground up before this happened. So you raise the price. But again, we can raise the price of physical because these guys are going to buy it. And a lot of people are going to want physical Fire Emblem.
It's because of that.
Yeah.
It's not because of whether overall they're raising physical or decreasing
digital. So write this down. Xenoblade Genesis, this is going to be exactly like this.
It's going to be $80.
With a big, fat special edition.
And they're going to do a special edition.
Yeah. And some amiibo and some whatever else.
Because people are going to buy, they're going to have the art book, they're going to have the steel case. It's going to be, you know,
so what comes in, let's look at this, what comes in this? So you get...
It's literally that. Art
book. Cards. I mean, who cares? Enough with these postcards.
Well, it's cheap for them to make a
steel
postcard.
Book. Steelbook's nice. Art book. Those art books are pretty good, actually.
Those art books are really pretty, yeah.
The Land of Dagda map.
Okay, get a map.
That's getting me to $120?
Well, it's getting them to $120 and getting you to, like, $20.
40 bucks? Is there 40 bucks of... That's not 40 bucks of value there. I'm sorry.
No, absolutely not. Are you joking right now?
Man.
The margins that they're making on this is insane. It's like an 80% margin.
I'd say don't buy it, but it's already sold out. It's a big point. Doesn't matter. Process your refund now.
You probably can't even get a refund.
You can't. You have to pay $100 like you did to get your refund.
It's like more than the actual thing.
I can't believe you did that.
I had no option.
You had a lot of options.
What are the options?
Sell it to somebody else.
I don't want to.
You'd rather spend $100 to get it off your hands. Oh, boy.
I need to get rid of it.
Okay.
Like a hot potato.
Switch Sports Resort. We learned
that. We're back to Woohoo Island.
That's $50.
Okay, that's a good price.
We're going back to Woohoo Island.
I like Woohoo Island.
Interesting. So I think there's 12 total activities in that.
And but you were saying, like, there's so many repeat activities.
There were. So there's, like, a bowling. It's like, all right, we had bowling. Basketball was something they added to original Switch Sports.
But it was bad.
It sucked. The volleyball. So there are some carryovers. I'm sure they'll add some more as updates. I think those were free updates later, so there'll probably be more. It is.
They're like phasing out the original Switch Sports.
This is a standalone game, though.
Yeah,
This is also a branding nightmare because Switch Sports exclusively on Nintendo Switch 2.
/ Woohoo Island.
Imagine when Grandma goes to Walmart on Christmas time to buy Johnny his game for Christmas.
How is she gonna bowl if she doesn't even know which game to
get? She's like, I want the new Switch Sports. Okay, here it is. It's a Switch 2. And Johnny's just got a Switch 1 and he'd be crying on Christmas Day.
Can't even bowl with Grandma?
Maybe there's gonna be a giant disclaimer.
Only compatible
with Nintendo Switch 2.
There won't be, they don't care.
Grandma's not gonna understand.
Aww,
it's going to be tough.
She just wants the bowl.
No.
She can't do that.
So there was a big focus on thumb wrestling.
You want to do it right now?
All right, fine. We'll do it.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. I declare thumb war.
Ow, you scratched me.
The crap
ow.
Out of you. Right, okay, but we're not doing that.
That's why we're doing it in the game. Injury free. So you get a fat thumb. You get a fat thumb by thumb wrestling. We saw Koizumi. I can't believe Koizumi lost.
That was really pathetic.
That's a bad look.
He was holding his hands the whole time. Do you think it's because he hurt his hand thumb wrestling?
His thumb is broken.
He broke his hand. He got scratched by somebody like me, scratching the crap out of you.
So is thumb wrestling a great idea or a stupid idea? I think it's great.
I think it's kind of funny. I was entertained.
I was won over. It reminded me of like when Rockstar did that table tennis game. You're like, haha, that's a funny thing. But they're like, no, we have obsessively recreated
like the
strategy,
extreme strategy
and the mechanics of everything you can do in ping pong.
Yeah.
And we put it in this game. It's like, oh, you did that with thumb wrestling.
Imagine the play testing that happened for thumb wrestling and how many poor developers got their thumbs like
broken off
from testing this game.
Wow. This could be the next esport.
Oh, that yeah. I might be really good at this. It could be like another thing that I'm good at. No one
cares about. You're really good at a lot of useless things.
I'm a savant at the useless stuff.
I could actually see that coming.
So it could be like, this is the one thing.
Yeah.
Can't play Smash once again, but I can definitely thumb wrestle you and switch sports to Woohoo Island Resort.
I want to talk about this Final Fantasy Resonance game, this HD 2D new Final
Fantasy.
That was
a surprise.
It was. Are you excited by this?
I'm kind of confused.
I'm a little less excited than
I'm sorry. Did I really hurt you?
I'm just checking to see if I'm bleeding. I'm not.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'm a little less excited than I thought I would be.
Yeah, I was excited in the moment. Then I watched the extended trailer and I was like,
We've had so many HD 2D games. And a lot of them are great.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we got two Octopath Traveler games that are incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All these Dragon Quest. It's like, what new is Final, besides slapping the Final Fantasy name on it?
Like, what is the uniqueness factor?
What is the
factor?
New thing?
Yeah.
Because it's not like, I've never seen an RPG like this. Like, no, we've had these Octopath Traveler games. They're incredible.
Yeah.
What is the new thing that the Final Fantasy name alone can give
me? Is it story?
Me? And I'm worried that they're just, because he was like, oh, you can summon all the heroes.
Yeah, here comes Cloud.
Yeah.
You know?
I was a little bit worried that they're getting a little too focused on that. It's giving me like a Fire Emblem Engage flashback a little bit. Remember that? It was like, oh, we go, oh, here, summon the legends of the past.
Your favorite heroes, yeah.
So I thought it looked fun. I thought it looked cool. I like more games in that style.
All of that, the games in that style are always beautiful, and they're always nice to look at.
But that's a big question that I have about it.
Yeah, yeah. I besides the summoning of the heroes, it kind of looked like a generic 2D, HD 2D RPG.
Yeah.
Which, again, is fine because those games are beautiful and they look nice and they're great, but we already have many of those games, like you said. So it's like, what would, you know, and I to be quite honest, I have not played through a lot of them because they're very long.
Right.
So it's like, what is going to get me on board for this? Besides the fact that I can summon a cute little HD 2D pixel Cloud.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's the hurdle. That's the hurdle for them
to address.
Especially since this game is coming out in the bloodbath of October.
Yes. Game key card.
This game is not exclusive to Switch 2.
It's not.
This is multi-platform. Orbitals, a game you're very excited for.
You're not excited for this game?
I don't know.
I thought you wanted to play with me.
We'll see.
Oh.
This game is going to be $40 digital, $50 physical, and also not a game key card.
You can also do the game share.
That's a great value.
It's a great value.
Why is this not? I mean, I really appreciate the wider range of prices here.
Yeah, it's great.
Why is this not full price? What's the catch?
I don't think there's a catch.
Really?
It's just one of those like, it's like Mina the Holler, $20,
3-hour
game.
They just want you to buy it.
They just want you to buy it.
Well, that'll help.
But they do, again, speaking of value, they have that, you know, kind of like what's, You get with Split Fiction where it's like you can.
Did they say online game share?
It's gotta be. I'm making an assumption, but it's gotta be.
It's gotta be, yeah.
So you can do that thing where
you just need one.
You just need one so you can play together.
That's legit.
$40? You just need one $40 game to play together with somebody?
That's not
bad at all.
That's actually really good. That's legit. Okay.
And the game does look really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that like kind of, you know, 90s style anime.
Yeah, we saw somebody at Summer Game Fest who saw it and they were saying like, oh, the team was like researching these 90s styles of animation.
Yeah, it's very iconic.
So that they could really nail that look.
Yeah, you gotta have like that old Sailor Moon's, you know, Rama and a Half, like that kind of style for it to feel right.
Yeah.
And it looked, what we saw today, it looked really cool. It has like platforming, it has puzzle solving, it has like kind of like, again, a very wide range of mechanics.
What's this out again? This is September...
September 7th? No.
3rd.
3rd.
Oh, okay. It's kind of beating the rush of these games.
It's the first of the September games. Yeah.
That bodes well.
Because you're going to need a...
That's 2 weeks before Fire Emblem.
Jump on that, but and then, that's what I was going to say, then you probably will jump off to play
Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem is 2 days after Wolverine. See, this sucks. Anyways.
But you're going to be happy when you have lots of games to play.
So here's a question. Who is carrying the Switch 2 more right now? Capcom or Square Enix?
Oh my gosh.
Because they are both like the two arms of Atlas.
They really are.
Yeah.
They're like one Joy-Con, left Joy-Con, right Joy-Con. Yeah. It's like one is the muscular arm of Capcom and one is the muscular arm of Square
Enix. Right, so Capcom's given us all these Resident Evil games,
yep.
And we got more new ones coming.
They got Onimusha.
We got Onimusha.
Monster Hunter Dragon, Wilds.
Dragon's Dogma. There's no update on the status of our pawns in Dragon's Dogma 2.
We asked Capcom.
We made official pawns for the first release
what
of Dragon's Dogma. It might be locked on a PS5. Capcom, we're here. We're going to do it again.
Yeah. I don't think that you can keep my pawn.
Yes.
Off of Switch 2.
When we did it the first time, I don't know if you were a part of this too. Or maybe it was our Kit and Krista account. We got tagged. Here's all the people who were doing the pawns. And there was I'm not going to say the name, an extremely divisive streamer.
Oh, yeah!
Who was one of the people. And for like literally a month, no joke,
the
mentions were just like, I can't believe you have blank doing this.
Because we were in the tweet.
Yes, blank is a dirtbag. Blank, I hate you, blank.
I don't know why they like, did
get
that.
Get me out of here.
I'm not associated with this person.
I know. It was fine. It was just fine.
I was an innocent bystander.
And then on the Square Enix side, we got all the Final Fantasy VIIs. We got this new Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. All the Dragon Quests.
Yep.
Kingdom Hearts. Up the wazoo.
Square. Square showed up today.
Really?
Square really showed up.
I was going to say they're
armful of presents.
I was going to say they're equals.
I think they're equals too.
But if you'd asked me a few weeks ago, I think I would have said Capcom.
I think I would have said Capcom a few weeks ago, but now I'm saying they're equals.
Man, Square Enix really caught up.
I want to see that gif of the two muscular hands. Like,
do you know what movie that's from?
What's it called?
Yeah, what's it called? What I'm asking you. What's it called?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No!
Bloodsport.
Do you know who the guys are?
Bloodsport.
No.
Oh, it's not Bloodsport.
It's Predator.
Oh, Predator.
Yeah. It's Carl Weathers and Schwarzenegger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can see
just
that.
Sweating bullets in South America.
Glistening.
Cocoa butter rubbed all over those arms.
Do you think that's what Square Enix is doing to Capcom? Rubbing cocoa butter
They're rubbing cocoa butter on each other's arms. Yes, I do.
Onto Joy-Con.
Yeah, I actually do think
that. It's like, wear your wrist strap.
Before they thumb wrestle.
Wear your wrist strap, people. You're going to throw that Joy-Con. This is how we get drift through yours. Covered in cocoa butter.
The cocoa butter is going to disintegrate the components of the Joy-Con.
And then you're going to cause Joy-Con drift.
We solved it. Good.
It leads to
drift. I'm glad we could solve that. So how do you think they got this Kingdom Hearts trailer? So I went back and watched it again, and I was like, wait a minute.
Money.
This also included, I think this was the first actual gameplay of this game.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
It's been so long.
I can't remember, but I was like, I think that was just...
When was the last trailer that we saw? Like
years.
4 years?
It might be something
like that.
Yeah,
something like
that. I remember being like deep pandemic. And I think that was just CG. I could be wrong, but I was like, now we're actually getting a lot of gameplay.
It was a pretty long segment.
So, the first gameplay on a Switch 2, it's not going to look as good as it's going to look on a PS5 or any other platform.
Yeah.
And yet they chose to put it in a Nintendo Direct. No.
Show me the money.
This is why...
Follow the money.
The one who's hurting here is Sony. Because Sony, by default... we'll take this Resident Evil trailer. Sure, we'll take the Final Fantasy. Sure, we'll take the Kingdom Hearts trailer. They got none of those now. Jeff Keighley got some. Nintendo got some. They got nothing.
Oh, ouch.
They got 20 minutes of a God of War walking simulator.
Oh my God. Square to the dirty.
They're multi-platform. So we're out. We gotta be other places.
They need money.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you gotta follow the money.
But I think that's remarkable that they were okay. Like, yeah, we'll put the worst-looking version out there.
To get the biggest audience return.
Man. Well, I mean, that's a big gamble.
But it is.
It's not really
a gamble.
Well, are people really gonna buy it on Switch 2?
I think so.
They'll be like, I'll watch a trailer on this, but I'm gonna buy it on a PS5.
So Sony wins anyway.
Before we say anything about Kingdom Hearts, we are not Kingdom Hearts fans. We're not Kingdom Hearts haters. We just don't play these games.
I have not played a Kingdom Hearts game for like 25 years.
Yeah, so we are not extremely plugged in.
Which is weird because I love Disney and I love
Kingdom
Nintendo,
Hearts fans. Please,
and I love
please
RPGs.
Leave comments explaining to us. Maybe it's
explain
time to
explain to you what why they got this trailer.
Maybe it's time to get into it though.
Are you gonna get into it?
Well.
This is always one of these franchises
where it's like, oh, you need to watch these. Here's a half dozen 2 hour long YouTube videos
to catch up,
and you'll maybe start to understand. See, is there no easier way? Is there no better way?
No. That's the only way.
It's kind of a big barrier.
That's what I'm saying.
What can they do about that?
This is like we were talking about Resident Evil having somewhat of a barrier. Sometimes when you look at that number, you're like, oh gosh, 9.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can catch up, but they figured out a way to get you over that barrier.
Right.
But for some reason, Kingdom Hearts does feel like an extremely tall hurdle in terms of like, am I even going to understand?
I think that for me is the biggest issue, actually.
Not the Disney stuff.
Of just like, I'm not going to understand for the life of me what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go back and replay all those games.
And the story is such a big part of it, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's an emotional part of this.
Right.
That you're going to want to know that information so you can have a better experience.
Yeah, yeah.
I did like seeing the Disney characters. I saw a Baymax. You could ride on a Baymax.
I mean, of the two of us, you're the one who would be more into this.
I'm scared, though.
Of what?
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get yelled at.
Of the score, of the story?
No. Be
yelled at by what?
These Kingdom Hearts fans Why? Seem kind of scary.
For what?
You don't know.
Doing For playing it, a game?
Doing it wrong. Do it wrong. Stupid.
Oh, no.
Hate you.
Okay, so there.
Dumb.
We are identifying some obstacles with new adoption of this series.
If you are a Kingdom Hearts fan.
That I think Square Enix should take note of and do something about it.
Yeah, can you help me understand how to start?
I'm sure a lot of nice people would love to help you.
And if there is a way that seems a little bit less of a hurdle than playing 4 extremely long RPGs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be great.
All right, well, this game's probably coming out in like 2031, so you might have time.
Yeah, there's no date for this.
Day and date on Switch 2, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Day and date on Switch 2.
Day and date.
Yes. And, but they didn't have any sort of timing or anything. No,
no.
Nothing. Okay.
No.
It's just a tease.
We've hardly said anything about this new Xenoblade game. What do you want to say about that?
That was my game of the show.
What do you want to say about that?
It looks so good. So we basically were like, wait, where are the Chronicles?
So they did say in the press release, like, a new beginning for the Xenoblade series.
Because it does sound like the origin story, right? Kind of some sort of origin story, because it's called, Genesis?
Genesis.
Okay. Xenoblade Genesis. See, it had all these checkboxes of things that I like. Like, I love a game where it's like some kind of, I'm joining like some kind of academy.
You know, I mean, it felt extreme. It was like Xenoblade meets Three Houses.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is awesome. And then, like, you know, the characters seem interesting and the environment was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then you ride a cool, fantastical creature and, like, you're on a dragon. It's just like every checkbox of, like, things that I'm hyped for usually in anything is, like, being checked, you know?
Will this be the Xenoblade game I actually finish now?
Why are you finishing these games?
I did
these
finish.
These games are great.
I finished Xenoblade 1. Xenoblade 3, I completely fell off.
That game was so good. Cried so much.
It was until it wasn't.
No, it was great.
I would.
You didn't finish Xenoblade X.
I would love.
When that was on Wii U. You
are they going to fix Xenoblade? Okay, they did all. Here's all the Switch 2 editions, and then the one that's already out there has a lot of problems.
Is these other ones going to have issues?
I don't know. Ooh. I mean, the first one is out today, so we probably.
Somebody.
I'm sure by now people are already digging into that.
Okay, great. Yeah, that one.
But
had
can you
some
fix
issues.
That one first as well?
That one had some issues.
Please.
Yeah. That one's good.
No, I never finished that one either.
What?
These games are too long. They're too long.
That game wasn't that long.
Which one?
X?
Come on.
It's like 30 hours.
No, it wasn't.
It really wasn't?
No.
It felt like 30 hours.
You played the Star Fox demo.
Right before we started.
It came
just
out.
Just for a little bit.
I downloaded it and said, and I wanted
Here
to see
go.
It. You said, no, gimme.
No, you said, do you want to play this? And I said, okay.
Well, then I said, I want to try it. And you're like, no. So I have.
I was in the middle of something.
I have no impressions of this because you wouldn't even show it to me. So what do you want to say?
I was just doing the tutorial part of it. It starts you in on a tutorial.
Is that all there is to this demo?
No. There's more. I when you told me I had to stop to record this podcast, it was like moving into the next part, which is an actual level? An actual level. I think so. Yeah.
The first level?
It seemed like it's the very beginning of the game. Maybe like the first like 20 minutes or so of the game or whatever. But yeah, you do get a bit of a sense of like the controls and things like that. I was looking at you because it had like a big giant screen that was like, would you like to invert? Or it's already inverted, would you like to uninvert?
This game is not inverted by default.
It was inverted by default.
I take back what I said about Varian.
Velen.
Velen. Velen Studio.
No, it was. It was inverted by default.
It better be.
I had to uninvert it.
Better be.
So I was very confused with the controls. I did try out the mouse controls as well. It's a little less intuitive than I thought it would be.
Why?
I was just having a hard time with like, wait, what am I, how am I moving?
But you were still flying and independently of aiming.
Correct. It's like one-handed.
I gotta check that out.
It's pretty interesting. I think
that can redeem Star Fox Zero, actually.
I need to get used to it more. Yeah. Overall, control scheme-wise, I think I just need to get used to it. Because
did it feel that different from original Star Fox 64?
For me, kind of.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Okay.
I don't know why. I'm kind of bad at these games, though, so don't trust me. Don't take my word for it.
All right, I'll check that out later.
But I was like trying to get used to it. Yeah. But I mean, it's so beautiful. It's a beautiful game. It looks so nice.
Yeah.
I think it's cool that they have a demo for it. It's actually really nice. So you start out with that big cutscene that they showed you, the opening cinematic of like James McCloud.
Yes, yes.
And then you go into the tutorial part of it, and then I think it opens you up to like the first level.
Yeah. Okay.
It's great.
Okay. I mean, it can't be a long demo.
No, the game's coming out.
The game itself is not long.
And a half.
Yeah.
Right.
We saw Andy Robinson at Summer Game Fest and commiserated about how Nintendo forced him to play like a loser.
Yeah, he was not happy about that.
I was sore over that.
I'd be pretty mad. They were like, don't do any of the things that you
want to do. Well, it sounds like if you were playing, they'd have no problem.
I would have been fine because I'm bad at this
game.
Bad
by default.
But some people are not bad and they want to play their way. You should just let them play how they want
spoilers. Can't have spoilers on this.
He's like, I wanted to do the shortcut. I'm like, you're not allowed to have any fun at actually. You need to play this in mouse mode and shut up.
Spoilers. At the end of the direct, leading into the Treehouse Live, there was this transition with Devin Pritchard giving a little talk and introducing the Treehouse Live.
It's weird.
Didn't feel super necessary.
Why did that exist?
Well, remember in the E3 days, we would really agonize over these transitions. They like, how do we carry the audience from this to that? Of so many things in the direct, I think this is something that they had like the most meetings on.
Totally.
Of like, well, I'm sure the NOA side was also lobbying.
Devin
needs to establish herself with the audience, mm-hmm. and this is a great opportunity for people to see her and hear from her and hear what she's about.
Yeah,
what she had to say didn't have a lot of substance, unfortunately.
No, she's reading a script that someone wrote for her.
Yeah, I don't think you needed any transition at all. Actually, it's just been boom. Here's Treehouse Live.
Yeah, Treehouse Live starts in 10 seconds. Here's the countdown.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully
pre-recorded. We can't call it Treehouse Live. It's Treehouse pre-recorded.
Hopefully she gets some more substantial opportunity to do something. I'm worried and she might end up in the Doug Bowser zone again.
Yeah, it's tough for them to let her loose, you know. Yeah. It's scary for them to do that because they don't want that. They want to be, like, very controlling of what that image looks like. I mean, even Koizumi, I mean, he's out there, but he's also reading a script. It's not like he's just out there doing interviews. Like, no one is doing that. No one is flying, except for Miyamoto. No one is flying off the cuff. You know, they're literally reading a script that's been approved like 1,000 times. And so, yeah, I mean, it was, I thought it was very, like, what is that word? Contrived.
Okay.
Yeah. I liked Devin, but it was very contrived.
Would you like to revise your grade for the direct? B+? No. Stay in a B+?
I'm staying a B+. It would have been an A if they had figured out how to show us more information about Ocarina of Time Dust Bowl.
I mean, it could have been a very high A if they had actual substantial information on those two.
About those two games, yeah.
I'm going to stick with B+ too.
Yeah. I think overall it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of games. There was a lot of third-party support. Overall, it was good. Yeah.
So we'll delve into this more in our Winners and Losers video later this week, but who do you think of the four showcases was the best?
Summer Game Fest.
I agree. Wow. By kind of a
by
long
kind
shot.
Kind of a big margin, honestly.
Who would have thought? Wow.
Man, they really turned that around, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Wow, Jeff. Way to go.
I'm going to put you on the spot now. Do you have like 3 to 5 of games on any platform? What are your most hyped games for the rest of this year? Any platform.
Any platform.
Any platform.
Okay, let me think. Any platform. Like, there's literally 100 games in September. So that's great. I'm hyped for Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
I'm pretty hyped for that Wolverine game.
Yeah.
I'm pretty hyped for... I'm looking at this list. I mean, obviously, Ocarina of Time and Dust Bloods, if they could figure out what these games are and when they're coming out, you know, that would be great to know. What else happened? E-Day.
No, that's actually at the top of my list. Gears of War.
Gears of War.
You don't even know what it's called.
Gears of War.
Fake fan alert.
No, it's not true. I was just trying to through the different games.
Come on. Deltarune? No Deltarune?
Oh, sure.
What the heck?
It's just such a close one. It's coming out so soon.
Yeah.
I mean, Star Fox, Deltarune, Rhythm Heaven, they're coming out so soon. I've kind of already like moved past them in a way. I don't know why that would be.
What?
I haven't played them yet, so that's a weird way of thinking, but yeah. Yeah.
I'm not putting Ocarina of Time or Duskbloods on
this list.
Because
you don't even know anything about
it. They do not deserve to be on my list yet.
You don't need to don't know anything.
I think number one for me is honestly Gears of War. We were at the Summer Game Fest hands-on.
I watched it finally over the weekend.
I watched the Gears of War. I've not watched the rest of the Xbox one. I still need to finish that.
Yeah.
But I think Gears of War is number one. I'm going to have to dust off that Xbox.
You are. Man. Console exclusive. Console Wars are back. How do you feel about that? We didn't even talk about that. Console Wars are back. How do you feel? Putting you on the spot now.
I don't understand the Xbox strategy, and quite honestly, I don't think they do either.
Duskbloods is a Nintendo exclusive.
I don't think they have a clue what their strategy
Gears
is.
Gears of War is an Xbox exclusive.
You know what,
exclusive.
Though? It's fine.
Does Sony have any exclusives?
Wolverine and
God of War.
God of War.
Console Wars are so back, baby.
Where did they go? They went nowhere. God of War with the game we can't pronounce.
Laufey.
I'm just going to call it Laufey.
That's not what happened.
But then what is it?
Laufey.
Are you 100% certain that's how you say it?
I am, actually.
Really?
Yes. Are you? No.
No, I'm not. So I'm calling it Laufey.
Are you excited about thumb wrestling?
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
On your list?
No. You tricked me. That's not on my list. So, Gears of War.
Gears of War.
Also,
Wolverine. No.
Fire Emblem.
Okay.
I'm going to put Star Fox on my list.
Okay, fine.
I'm going to put Star Fox.
All right.
And how many games is that? Two?
That's three?
Three.
Where is your Wolverine?
I don't know how I feel about Wolverine, honestly.
Are you serious right now? That's ridiculous.
It's just a lot of guys getting cut up.
Yeah, well, that's awesome.
You're
going to love it when start playing it.
All right.
It's going to feel good. You know, Insomniac games feel so good.
All right, I'm going to give you my top. I'll leave it at my top three then for
That's
now.
That's it?
Yeah, those are my top three. Those are my top three.
So thumb wrestling, Star Fox.
And I wish I had a more comprehensive list in front of me right now. Because there's some things I'm like, is that this year? Is that next year? I don't know.
And Gears of War.
Yeah.
It's thumb wrestling number one. And then Gears of War and then Star Fox.
It's a real dude bro list right there. I'm broing out on my list.
Are you gonna play Deltarune?
How are we playing? I'm having significant anxiety about what happens when we get to these parts of the year that are so busy. What are we gonna do?
I don't know, bro.
Like there's just gonna be a lot of games. We do this every year, but especially this year when we make our list, there's gonna be some games that we have to miss I don't want to.
But there's games you have to play for our big goatee.
But
discussion.
Even this, it's like okay, Deltarune Chapter 5 and Star Fox. Those are short games, but they come out at the same time. That's not great.
We'll just play one and real quickly play the other one.
It's annoying. I want to give them each their due, and then Rhythm Heaven is the next week.
But that one you can play with other games.
Don't just tell me I can juggle four games at once. I don't like to do that.
Rhythm Heaven is a game that you truly can do that with.
Whether it's Splatoon Raiders should have been on my list.
Me too.
That's pretty high.
Me too.
If I rank the list, Gears of War, Splatoon Raiders,
Star Fox,
Fire Emblem Star Fox.
Fire Emblem Star Fox. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Fine. Deltarune's number five. Chapter 5 is number 5.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
Are you gonna play Stellar Blade? On a Switch 2?
I haven't played that game ever.
I think you should.
But we don't know when it's coming out. There's no date.
This year. Are you experiencing anxiety about this?
Well, there's a lot of games that I don't have to play.
Yeah.
In September.
But there's also a lot of games you probably do.
But I...
Or maybe not, okay.
Can maybe just pick.
Maybe not. All right, fine.
I feel like I'm going to be all right.
Okay.
I feel okay about this.
Let's see what our Patreon subscribers thought of the direct. We did a poll. Do you know Jeff Keighley doesn't do polls anymore?
He just had a tweet that was like, how do you feel
why
about
that?
This? I don't know why. I like those polls.
I don't understand. I think polls are helpful. Good thing we have one. 27% gave it an A. 35% gave it a B. 26% gave it a C. 9% gave it a D. And 3% gave it an F.
That's a pretty high F percentage
That's
from us.
3%.
Usually it's like sub 1%, Jeez. Right?
Johnny Elder said, I really wanted to like it, but everything I was excited for, they barely showed anything.
That's true.
And with the vaguest release dates, yeah. The Kegger said, unfortunately, this was a very weak Direct for me. The amount of new game information we received paled in comparison to ports and information on games we already knew existed. I'm personally not interested in most of what they showed, but happy for those who are. Ocarina of Time Remake was the saving grace, but the 30-second trailer after 3 minutes of thumb wrestling just was not enough. First ever time, yeah, I'm giving her Direct a D.
Oh, the Kegger's is sort of a big Nintendo fan, oof, too.
And then Yami said, as a JRPG fan, this was honestly kind of a crazy Direct. I can't believe we got Kingdom Hearts 4, new Xenoblade, along with Switch 2 editions with new content for all the others, more Fire Emblem and Deltarune. I can see how other people might not have been interested, but for me, this was honestly all I could ask
for. That's what I'm saying. It's a little divisive.
Yeah.
It's always like something with the Direct where it's not as like variety show. It's like sometimes it gets like this seems to be in the last two, I think, really felt like very JRPG heavy.
Yeah.
And there was that one infamous Farm Sim one.
Yep.
And then there was one before that, I think, that was like all cozy games. So sometimes they get into these like directs where it's just one style, one genre, and then if you don't like that genre, then you feel disappointed.
So yep.
I can see that.
Yeah. Wow. That's the show for today. Don't forget to check us out at patreon.com/KentandKrista. We've been working very hard. We would love if you'd support it and get some great exclusive content along the way.
All those spoiler casts for Final Fantasy VII and the promise of more to come. Don't you want to get that? It's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
We're on the social. We're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Blue Sky, and Threads.
If you're watching this on video, we'd love it if you could subscribe, give the video a thumbs up, and leave us a comment. And if you're listening on audio, you can also subscribe over there, give the podcast a 5-star rating, and leave a written review if you please.
Please. Okay, let's shout out some wonderful Patreon community members, starting with Funnel Boss. Aaron Hash. Do you think Aaron Hash has Mario Kart Home Circuit?
Absolutely.
Okay, we should ask him.
I should dust that off. Maybe we should do something with that.
My dog was really into it.
All of that.
He tried to bite the camera.
It's a dangerous game if you have a dog.
But the dog was like chasing it and like
the dog gonna eat it.
And yes, he ate it, and then it was all slobbery. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah. Anyways, it's pretty fun though. Okay, superstars: Mara Mayhem,
Eigenverse,
Mike Chin,
Brett Eschke,
VGM Life,
Link the Hero of Winds,
Angela Bycroft,
Thomas O'Rourke,
Kyle LaBeouf,
Andrew Yuhas,
Chili,
Prashuri,
Master Discord,
Travis Torline,
Emerson Pokegamer,
R. Burns,
Kitson Cave,
Adrian,
Nathan Clover,
The Shark Among Men,
Brain Tech,
Kiss My Flapjack,
Paul Gale Network,
Cameron,
Frederick Wolf Conradson,
Capsuley Nerdy,
and Zoof! Here Come the One of Club, Aaron Burgundy,
At Cool 2000,
Age 1000,
Ian Evelith,
Ali Alejandro,
Ali McLovin,
Alejandro Orezco Borrego,
Andy Robinson,
Angel 8,
Angie Jojo,
Anthony Kager,
Aristu,
Art 64,
Astro Dev,
Asurex,
Aquatic Fish 22,
Awesome 46,
Bino,
Barnstorm,
Bates,
Berserker,
Big End Gamer with a Y,
Blake Mitchell,
Bob Clayfin,
Booze Toast,
Brad SF56,
Brandon Cooper,
Brandon Kavopel,
Brovac Novak,
Cashew,
Cedric Benson,
Chadir,
Chili Squirrel,
Kai X,
Crispy Saurus,
Christopher Lay,
Chunky Conga,
Colleen Finnegan,
Connor,
Cosmic Titan 718,
CP Coaster Lover,
Captain Alex,
Sea Roper 17,
Cynical Squid,
Daffers,
Dagdaleo,
Dally Dinkum,
Dane,
Doxson,
Davy Smalls,
David Kalpakis,
Delving with Difford,
Dennis M2,
Devi P,
Dinkum and Poppycom,
Doghead,
Twinko,
Dre,
Dr. Saturn,
Dubs 496,
Doodad Life,
Eccentric Tony,
Elite Peach,
Espar's 50,
Even Granny Boy,
Furbound,
Fernie and Jess Forever,
Fox Deploy,
Funky Fresh,
Funky Hung,
Gabriel Valise,
Gamer Likes Anime,
Gamer Nerd 78,
Gary,
Garf the Wolf,
Gartooth,
Jeremy,
Gianni,
Guilty Phoenix 42,
Hannah is Funky,
Heyo Jose,
Ira Bell,
Iris Marin,
It's Anthony Time,
It's Your Boy J Hov,
Ivancito,
Jay Rando,
Jabdaws,
Jahari Garcia,
Jake the Snake 22X,
Jameson Eisenberg,
James
Pritchard,
Jay Barr,
Jerry 92602,
Jim Wakeland,
Joe Encarnacion,
Jonathan Rowe,
John Conboy,
Jordan Hemmerly,
Chorus,
Joseph Gunter,
Josh,
Joshua Clements,
Juju Fruit,
Just Camtro,
Justin Leminger,
Jay Wolf,
Kaylin,
Cap'n 64,
Cat,
Katie Esta,
Kawa 2796,
Kind PVL,
Kevin Delane,
Katrina,
Kay Hooper,
Keela Kibo,
Cal Jordan,
Christy Eckert,
Kyle Gamer Barry Rookie,
Kyle 325,
Kyle Kretzer,
Larry Fitzpatrick,
Lazy Cat for Coffee,
Leah Rao,
Lem VX,
Levi,
Lex,
Linko,
Litton,
Luke Hayabusa,
Lin B, no, Luna B, Lim, Macho Potato,
Mac the Cat,
Mad Dog 5981,
Magnificent Easy G and Callie Marie,
Mario Man 392,
Marky Man 64,
Mary Cohen Coulson,
Matthias,
Maverick Nate,
Megan,
May plus Leon.
Michael Mazur.
Michael Wong.
Mikey Macaroni.
Mr. Ryan 07.
Motomania.
Mr. Andy Pond.
Mr. Beans and Dip.
Mr. Bendu 101.
Mr. Underscore.
Mute Dog the Gamer.
Mytran.
Nasir.
Nyef E.
Nick Bia Reeves.
Nintendo 64.
Ninja 11.
Ninja Black Belt.
Nova Rue.
One of a Kind.
Omega Index Card.
Oni.
Pangy.
Paper Boat.
Patrice Millett.
Pave the Way.
Rob M. Nope. Peach Booty.
Firemar.
Prime Factor.
Prince Charmless.
P.S. Witch.
Punky.
Quintet.
Reckless Thomas.
Now it's Rob M.
Yes, Rob O.
Rob Y.
Robbie DLC.
Romsky 113.
Rocks.
RT64.
Ryan Hayes Music.
Ryan Haas.
Ryanetta.
Sage Gamer.
Salkin 20XX.
Scott Seaworth.
Sebastiano Grasse.
Sega.
Sharif Jackson.
Shimryu.
Shiny Elizabeth.
Slowbro.
Shump.
Schnozzle.
Spacey Poo.
Spider Girl.
Spicy Munchkin.
Star Fox Jubilation.
Steven.
Stuart Radley.
Swan Bow.
Pseudo Priest.
Super Nerdy Human.
Sreetok. Yeah.
Tales of Link.
Talica.
Tamara Rhymes with Hammer.
Oh, thank God. Tandem.
Tanuki Dragon.
Tay 120 and 64.
Teal Fox 64.
The Hyrule Hero.
The Keggers.
Quiet One.
Thomas Alvarez.
Three Rivers.
Tickle Me Dinkum.
Tim WC.
Token 777.
Tor Cheeks.
Totally Joed.
Tonamaru.
Trajawi.
Trevor Collins.
Tugs Puppy Bear.
Tusku.
Ty Bear the Bear.
Tyler Geist.
Victor MK.
Fitch Michter.
Vinny O Games.
Viridian.
VirtualBot.
Voice for Radio.
Waffles.
Blue Water BH.
WG Grizzy.
Wicked Davey.
William George.
Yanny.
YJ Choi.
Zachary S.
Zelgarov.
Zapani.
And Zero Link.
Wow.
Somebody's birthday.
You're looking.
And I'm checking.
You're looking.
I think it is Bino's birthday. And I'm double checking.
It's Bino's birthday. Hurry.
I'm in the wrong channel. Happy birthday,
happy
Bino.
Happy birthday,
confirmed.
Bino.
Happy birthday, Bino.
That's a good Fire Emblem happy birthday gift. Or not Fire Emblem. That's Final Fantasy. Very good. Okay. Yes, birthdays are a big deal in the Kit and Krista Discord.
That's right.
All right. Wow. We had a busy day. If you haven't watched yet, we have our big reactions already live on the channel. Let us know if you have thoughts about the direct in the comments, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.